Good morning. It is 11:30 a.m. on Thursday, February 21st, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and you're listening to Kingston Currents. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. In this episode, we will be sitting down with the Let's Get Revved Up team to discuss their walk and roll-a-thon this Saturday. CFRC's Chloe Paris will be getting into another event organized by the Queen's Observatory in anticipation of the April 8th eclipse. We will also be discussing a children's show coming to the Isabel this weekend, Harmon Returns. To start us off, on April 8th, 2024, a rare total solar eclipse will grace Kingston, Ontario, promising a once-in-a-lifetime spectacle. To highlight its significance and ensure a safe and unforgettable viewing experience, the Queen's Observatory is hosting various events leading up to the date. On Monday night, they will be hosting a staged reading of student-written plays in anticipation of the eclipse. This exciting collaboration between physics and drama will showcase 7 10-minute plays, written and directed by students. From the first eclipse ever to love stories under celestial chariots, each play offers a unique cosmic perspective. You can attend this free event in person or via live stream on Monday, March 25th at 7:30 p.m. in Convocation Hall, in Theological Hall on Queen's Campus, or via live stream, physics at QueensU. CFRC's Chloe Paris sat down with Livia Camo with the Observatory to chat about this total eclipse of the arts.
Hello, this is Chloe Paris, and I am joined here today by Livia Camo, an undergraduate student from the Department of Astrophysics here at Queen's University, to discuss the upcoming event, Total Eclipse of the Art. Hello, thank you so much for coming in today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, a little background. As the total solar eclipse quickly approaches, Queen's University has been actively preparing for this astronomical event by organizing a series of engaging and educational activities across campus. The Total Eclipse of the Arts can be seen as an initiative by the university in anticipation of the eclipse, partnering between the Dan School of Drama and Music and the Department of Physics, Engineering Physics, and Astronomy. So you're here today to kind of tell me a little bit about this event. What might attendees expect when attending?
It's kind of hard to say for me personally. Since I'm coming from the physics side of things, I don't actually know the intricate details of what's going to be going on during the plays. From what I've read from the promotions myself, I know that it's going to touch on all sorts of things, from what the first eclipse might have been like way back in the day, or a bit more romance stories about love blossoming under an astronomical event. But apart from that, I'm not really sure.
It's basically just eclipse-themed plays written by students.
Yeah, coming from all sorts of perspectives, really, because there's going to be 7 plays total.
7 plays.
10 minutes each, so it's going to be just over an hour event with an intermission, so probably closer to an hour and a half. But with that many plays run and written by some very creative people, I'm sure they're going to touch on all sorts of interesting subjects as well.
So can you tell me what time and where this event is being held?
Yeah, so it's going to be on March 25th, going from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., and it's being held in Theological Hall in the auditorium in that building called Convocation Hall. You do need to register for the event. It is free to register. They're doing both in-person tickets and virtual tickets because they're going to be live streaming the event, and these can all be found either through the Dan School of Music website under performances, or we've been posting all about it on our Queen's Eclipse social medias, the dance school social medias, all of that stuff.
Perfect. So if you guys want information, please check out their socials. So why do you think it's important to combine the arts and science in events like this?
I think it's really important to bring together different perspectives on these kinds of things, especially with an event that's like so astronomy and physics based. But really, it can be approached from all sorts of different perspectives. And this is just a really great example of that. Combining the powers of drama and science is really not an untapped area, but an area that doesn't get enough credit and appreciation, I think. So I think this is a really great opportunity to see those two come together.
Definitely. So from the drama side of things, are those students the ones like kind of writing the plays and acting them out? So what would the science side be doing?
There's 2 different classes that are working together to put these plays together. There's a second year dramaturgy class that did all the scripting and like the stage production. And then there's support from a third year drama class as well. On the physics side of things, they did actually do a call for actors from both the drama and physics department. So I think we're going to have a few physics students acting in these plays as well, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Going outside of our comfort zones a bit. But otherwise, from the physics side of things, we've mostly been there, first of all, just to propose this this event in the first place. Mm-hmm. Part of like our eclipse at first, part of getting different departments involved. And also just as kind of like a science-based knowledge point, if they needed any specific facts or information about eclipses or astronomy in general, they could come to us as well as sources for that.
And I know that Queen's is handing out glasses to watch the solar eclipse, which are very important.
They are very important. Get your eclipse glasses, everybody.
Yes. Can you tell me when these are being handed out?
Mm-hmm. So very fittingly, they are starting distribution on March 25th, the same day as the Total Eclipse of the Arts event. They're going to be distributed all across campus for Queen's members, so that could be from the libraries, so like Douglas and Stauffer, or the Law Library, I think, all that. But also at just like key super busy locations on campus, so like Student Wellness is going to have a stack. There's a table at the ARC that's going to have a whole bunch, so pretty much anywhere you would go normally, you can probably find them. And for anybody who lives in residence, you're going to be getting glasses straight from your dons as well, so you don't need to worry about going out.
That's really important. That's good. So is there anything else you'd like to add about the upcoming event or about the solar eclipse in general?
Oh, there's so much I want to talk about for the solar eclipse. But for time purposes, anything that I could tell you really right now, you can find on our Queen's Eclipse website. If you just type in Queen's Eclipse 2024 or any kind of combinations of those keywords, our website should be the first one to pop up. And there you can find everything about all sorts of upcoming events, including this one, where to get glasses if you want the specific addresses and hours of operation. We're going to be listing official viewing locations on there soon once we get the go-ahead from the City of Kingston. Education and resources, anything you could possibly want, frequently asked questions, they're all on that website.
Guys, I urge you to watch this production. It sounds like it's going to be a blast and also very informational.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there. I hope to see you all there too.
There we go. Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
For more information and upcoming events, you can visit the Queen's Eclipse 2024 website. This Saturday, Let's Get Revved Up Club, an initiative which promotes physical activity opportunities for persons experiencing disabilities, will be hosting a community walk and roll-a-thon, which they hope will be the first of many more annual events. The event is for community members to enjoy a walk and roll together to promote accessible physical activity in the Kingston community. The first annual walk and roll-a-thon is taking place at the ARC, 284 Earl Street, on Saturday, March 23rd from 1 to 3 p.m. The Let's Get Revved Up group is also actively fundraising to raise money to purchase more equipment to meet the growing needs of the Revved Up gym. To talk about this event and Revved Up, I sat down with the club's co-chairs and participants in the program. Well, to start us off, I was wondering if our co-chairs would like to introduce themselves and maybe give us a little history lesson on Revved Up and how we got where we are now.
Yeah, so my name is Helen, Helen Lord. I'm in chemistry at Queen's.
And my name's Hannah Burt. I'm in fourth year kinesiology.
Hannah and I started the Let's Get Revved Up Club, which is a club that supports a nonprofit program, Revved Up.
So Revved Up is a program here at Queen's that is a community-based exercise program for adults with physical and or intellectual disabilities, for individuals in the Kingston area or greater area.
Yeah, so we started the club because we wanted to help support Revved Up, the program. It is a non-for-profit, as we said, and so we wanted to give back to the program, and it helps a lot of participants in the Kingston community, and they often need help with stuff like new equipment, adaptive equipment, for as well like support for staffing and stuff as well, and just in general like more support and advocacy and promotion as well. So that was the motivation behind starting the club and for just supporting such an amazing program.
Yeah, and when did the club start?
We started the club in around September 2023, so this is our first year running it and everything, and we're putting on Saturday the first ever walk or roll-a-thon that's organized by about 23 of us passionate students in the club, and all proceeds that are raised at that event will be put towards Revved Up. We have a goal of actually raising $11,000 for a brand new step, which is an adaptive exercise equipment that many of our participants at Revved Up love. Francis is clapping.
Awesome. Yeah, and
as you just mentioned, we have some participants in the program here. I was wondering if you'd like to introduce yourselves and maybe share a bit how Revved Up has impacted your life.
My name is Frances Dykstra, and this is my daughter, Patricia, and that's my son, Darren. And what do I do in Revved Up? I do a lot of things. I am actually a participant. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to do with administration or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But we come twice a week. We started 12 years ago.
Wow.
And at that time, both, and still are, at that time, both children were in another program. They're in Special Olympics, and they have been, Darren still is, Patricia is limited now, in a lot of sports. Mm-hmm. But we had no training, mm-hmm. no physical training. So we joined a group, which eventually petered down to nothing. And so we were left with nothing. And the coordinator of that group did the research and found out about Revved Up and got in communication with them. And they started us in the evening, community time at that time it was called. And we started coming twice a week, which was really great, except in the winter time. Terrible parking here in the winter time. Anyways, after COVID, we came back and we decided to come during the day, which is a lot better for us, mm-hmm. Much better. And we, so we come twice a week, and when we, for some reason or other, have not been able to come, we feel the difference. Mm-hmm. We feel the difference.
Definitely. I just want to say there's something really amazing about Revved Up is that participants experiencing disability can come and exercise safely and in a supportive environment. It's, the program allows for student volunteers and student interns, maybe through the DPRA certificate at Queen's, to like actually work hands-on with the participants, as well as learning how to develop exercise safely for people experiencing disabilities. And I think that's another reason why the program is so amazing. Like, and I know you know Patricia, and you guys work with students a lot one-on-one as well. Like, how do you like working with the students, really?
I love it.
Yeah.
We find that the program gives us the maintenance that we need in our body. We have a lot of health problems, and because of those health problems, we tend to slow down very much, which means we will always be in pain of some sort for something or other. But coming here twice a week keeps our level of activity at a very good level. Mm-hmm. And we'll miss it if it's not here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome that you guys are like a bridge between the community and Queens as well. I find that at the station too. Like, we have a lot of volunteers who are community members, and it's so nice to have that as opposed to being, you know, isolated at Queens campus. And it's nice to know that, you know, you guys get to learn how to actually work in the community. And
Well, we have a lot of ties with the community. Like, we have, I think there's in total like around 175 like members of the Kingston community in the Revved Up program. Yeah. That's right, Hannah?
Both between coming at Queen's University at the gym and then at Providence Care location, and Revved Up at Home, which allows members from across Canada to still get the benefits of the program but do exercise virtually with students.
Yeah. So
which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome that you have so many options, and it's not like expensive physiotherapy or something. It's actually accessible.
Costs are so low, very low to make it accessible for like for participants as best as possible. Yeah. So
We also have a home program, home-based program through Zoom for people who cannot come here.
Revved Up.
And that I find is very, very nice for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Some of the participants are perhaps not able mm-hmm. as to participate as much as they can because of their disabilities. But believe me, there's a lot who like to socialize. Mm-hmm. And that is a very, very, very nice thing about the program. You're not just coming here to work and work mm-hmm. and work. You're also coming here to socialize mm-hmm. with other people.
Yeah, and with the students, yes. I know the students love the yes. meeting great people, and the participants yes. love that socialization yes. aspect too. So I'm glad to hear that you guys like yeah. that. But yeah, we're doing this event, and Revved Up is amazing. And
yeah, I think that's kind of the hope for Saturday for our Walker Rollathon, is to bring together the whole community. So we've invited current participants of Revved Up, past participants, Revved Up at Home, who may haven't even been to Queen's campus yet just because they're not in Kingston. We have DEPA students, volunteers, alumni, and faculty all coming together on Saturday to hopefully just have a awesome time of bringing everyone together, showcasing the amazing community mm-hmm. that this program has created. Get some exercise.
And maybe we can just plug it's from 1 yes. to 3 p.m.
Yeah.
On Saturday in the main gym at the Queens Athletic and Recreation Center, the Queens Arc. We're going to have food there, right, Hannah? There will be some speeches happening from the Revved Up program starters. Hannah and I will be speaking.
Yeah. We have a silent auction going as well that you can see it online and also be in person at the event to try and raise some money. And like Helen mentioned at the beginning, the point of the Walker Rollathon is to be a fundraiser to raise some money to buy a new step, which we know everyone loves.
Yeah, so
we're looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are asking for about $5 minimum like donation to come. And but what, like I said before, Hannah and I have been saying, all of this proceeds are going to Revved Up. So this will be going right back to the participants like Francis and Patricia and Darren. So we're very hopeful for such a success. Yeah.
Amazing. What an exciting kickoff event. All those things you just listed, I was like, oh my gosh, you hadn't been preparing. How's the lead up been? It's been really busy, I guess.
It's been very busy.
But exciting.
Yeah, we didn't do this alone. We have like a big team behind us, like of the Let's Get Revved Up Club, who are all students who are part of Revved Up in different ways. And we've all been working really hard to make this happen, put together the silent auction. We have many sponsors from like the local Kingston businesses as well, people through Queens who have generously donated items, and pizza, for example, has been donated by Domino's. So it's looking to be good, but I'm not going to jinx it.
Yeah, and are you guys excited to participate on
Saturday?
So folks can come out on Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. at the Arc, and meet lots of people, do some fun activities, have mm-hmm. some snacks, walk and roll.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, thank you
all so much for taking the time to sit down with me today and mm-hmm. sharing all about Revved Up.
Amazing. Thank you,
Christine.
Thank you.
Once again, that was the Let's Get Revved Up Club and community members on their upcoming Walk and Rollathon this Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Arc. Be sure to attend and visit revvedupgroup.ca for more information. Before we get into more local news, I'm turning to our weather and traffic report for this morning. For your weather today, we're expecting a mix of sun and cloud, winds being 20 kilometers per hour, gusting to 40. We have a high of 0 and wind chill minus 15 this morning. The UV index is 3 or moderate. Tonight, we're expecting clear skies with winds being 20 kilometers per hour, gusting to 40 and becoming light this evening. We have a low of minus 12, wind chill minus 7 this evening and minus 16 overnight. Looking forward to tomorrow, we're expecting increasing cloudiness with a 40% chance of snow late in the afternoon. Winds will be 15 kilometers per hour, and we have a high of minus 2, wind chill minus 15 in the morning and minus 7 in the afternoon. The UV index will be 3 or moderate. On Friday night, we're expecting periods of snow with a low of minus 5. Now it's time for your CFRC weekly traffic report for March 15th to 21st. Reduced load restrictions are in effect as of now. Heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to motorists due to a major rehabilitation project during the following periods. Today, March 18th to Thursday, March 21st from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. Friday, March 22nd at 8 p.m. to Monday, March 25th at 5 a.m. and Monday, March 25th to Thursday, March 28th from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. During these periods, all lanes will be closed to vehicular traffic in both directions. The sidewalks will remain open to pedestrians and cyclists. Public Services and Procurement Canada wishes to advise motorists of an alternating lane closure on LaSalle Causeway for major rehabilitation during the following period: Wednesday, November 1st, 2023 to Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. During this period, one lane will be closed and one lane will remain open for alternating traffic. Motorists should expect short delays. Access will be maintained for pedestrians and cyclists. PSPC encourages users to exercise caution when traveling on the bridge and thanks them for their patience. There are no new road closures to look out for this week. However, do keep in mind that University Avenue, Union to Earl, is closed for the Queen's JDUC project until the end of May. Queen Street, Montreal to Sydenham, also has an eastbound lane closure until April 1st, 2024. Detours are in place for the duration of the closure. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is underway. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time throughout the process. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west.
Now back to more local news. Also this Saturday on March 23rd, the Kingston Symphony mixes fun, education, and music in a space-themed concert titled Harmon Returns. This concert will see the Kingston Symphony and the talented puppeteers from Gazelle Automations bring the successful Harmon in Space web series to the Isabel stage for a concert about the instruments in the orchestra. As part of the Kingston Symphony's commitment to community outreach, over 2,000 grade 4 students from throughout our region will see the performance of Harmon Returns as part of the Symphony Education Partnership Program. These special performances take place today and tomorrow. I sat down with Lindsay Lee, aka Harmon, with Gazelle Automations to chat about Harmon Returns at the Isabel.
Well, to get us started, I was wondering if you could introduce yourself and maybe share a bit about Gazelle Automations.
My name is Lindsay Lee. I'm the owner of Gazelle Automations. We are a production company based in Toronto, specializing in films and television with puppets and model miniatures. I feel like I just quoted our website, but that is what we are. So it's owned by my husband and I, and we're both puppeteers. And currently, we are producing a series with CBC Kids with model animatronic vehicle characters.
Awesome stuff. And I was wondering if you could share a little bit about your show this weekend in Kingston, Harmon Returns.
Sure. So I'm so excited to be in Kingston this weekend with Harmon the Hound. She is a spacefaring dog who wants to learn everything she can about a symphony orchestra. The show started out actually as a pandemic project with the Kingston Symphony Orchestra. We were contacted by the musical director, Evan Mitchell, who's also a friend of ours. And he said, we want to do something special during the pandemic, like it's a weird way to put it. But I think everybody during COVID was sort of trying to figure out just how to make the most of it and just how to be as positive as we could about it. And so Evan proposed this idea that that maybe there was a character who was also isolated for a different reason other than a pandemic. And so chatting with him, we kind of together devised this idea that this character named Harmon, who's a dog, was stuck in space and just wanting to get back to Earth, but in season one of the web series, Harmon's password, she needs a password to land her spaceship on Earth. She's stuck in space for who knows why. But the password was a very specific musical piece. So season one kind of followed Harmon trying to guess which piece this was. And as she's guessing, she's learning about all the different instruments in the orchestra. And then season two of the web series was, Harmon, she's back up in space for again, who knows why. but she's now trying to audition for a position in a symphony orchestra on the fictional planet Rapiano 3. And Harmon is trying to decide what instrument she wants to play for her audition, and she can't decide. But she's learning again about, you know, new instruments this season that she didn't know about before.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also visited by this mysterious character named 4-4, who's a time-traveling giraffe, time and space-traveling giraffe, who keeps too much to her annoyance, keeps reminding her there are even more instruments to learn about. So poor Harmon just can't catch a break. She can't decide which instrument she wants to play. So all that to say, so she's coming to the Isabel Vader Theater tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday for a live show where she will be live in person or in dog, going through what she's learned and possibly revealing what she's going to play for her audition, not promising anything. But yeah, she will be here live this weekend.
Awesome stuff. Yeah, I loved the background on the show. I realized it was like an accessible thing during COVID, but it's awesome that it was also a relatable topic. I hadn't made that connection, but it was definitely probably great for kids to see that when they were going through that time of isolation like we all were.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it was really good. And looking back at season one, it's like that feeling that we all felt at the time of just feeling so trapped and isolated. Like I can really, you know, even though like it feels like so long ago now because the world has changed so much in such a short time, but you can really feel that from season one. And it was really nice in season two to actually be able to come to Kingston and interview musicians in person. And, you know, Harmon was actually getting to interact face to face. And that sort of felt like a parallel to how we all felt as well, you know, after lockdown, just being able to see each other in person again.
Yeah, definitely. And this live rendition of the show, is this the first of its kind or have you done the live shows before?
So we did one live show in late 2022, actually, just so that was sort of connected to season one of the web series. So this will be the second time Harmon's going to be back in Kingston on stage.
Awesome. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, you're passionate about children's programming. I was wondering how it feels to be able to provide the opportunity for so many children to come see Harmon through the Symphony Education Partnership.
Oh, it's just so wonderful. I mean, I just think it's so important for kids to be exposed to arts early in life. Personally, I was not. I attended a school that was very sort of math and science focused and not a lot of arts education. And, you know, I just, you know, part of me just wishes that I'd been able to have this opportunity as a kid just to learn so much about the arts. Because as a working artist now, it's just like, you just see the value and you see the connection to everything, to the whole world, through art. And it's so nice to, the last time Harmon was here in Kingston, after the show, it was at the Kingston Grand the last time, Harmon got a chance to meet some of the audience members. So they, you know, Harmon was sitting in the lobby and kids could come up to her and talk. And it was just so magical just seeing them ask questions about music and, you know, sharing what they learned and what their favorite instruments were, you know, really engaging with the content. And it's so exciting. So Harmon will actually be in the lobby of the Isabel Vader again this Saturday doing the same thing. And I and she just cannot wait to meet the kids.
Amazing. Yeah, that's so exciting. And how's your stay in Kingston been so far? Has preparation been keeping you busy today, I guess?
Yeah, so actually I've just come straight from Toronto. We're in the middle of production on our CBC Kids series, so I've literally just come from set and driven to Kingston. I heard my husband just texted me to say that it's blizzarding in Toronto right now, which is crazy because the sun is partially shining in Kingston.
I know, I was getting a little upset about the weather today, but I'm okay. I guess it's not a blizzard. So.
No, exactly. And there I was telling him, like, oh, it's not going to snow for the next few days. You know, it's probably going to snow in Kingston, but it seems to be the opposite. But yeah, we're getting ready. I'm just going over my notes for the show. We're having a dress rehearsal this evening. So Harmon is waiting in the car patiently. And we're going to be heading over to the theater soon.
Awesome stuff, and best of luck on your first show tomorrow for, once again, that Symphony Education Partnership tomorrow and Friday, and then folks can come see the show on Saturday. Where can folks get tickets and also just keep up with Harmon?
Yes, you can go. So to watch the web series, you can go to the Kingston Symphony YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube and type in Kingston Symphony. And then for tickets to the show, if you go on the Kingston Symphony website, you'll be able to find links to where you can buy your tickets.
The full concert listing for Harmon Returns can be found at kingstonsymphony.ca/concerts.
That is all things current in Kingston for this morning. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. To hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.